Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this state, Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. As always, we begin with today's top stories. The first headline reads, it's actually a large, colorful photo front page. Salute to seniors. And it's a photo of an older couple dressed in orange and blue in a room of people waving. A man is waving and a woman is blowing a kiss. The caption reads, Illinois Guard Kylan Boswell's grandparents, Judy and Bill Ford, react as he introduces them to the crowd gathered Monday afternoon for the Illini Rebounders Senior Luncheon at the I Hotel and Illinois Conference Center in Champaign. More photos of the event can be found in a gallery online at newsgazette.com. Robin Scholes of the News Gazette took that photo. Next up, out of Savoy Village Board, bike sharing regulations on agenda, proposals similar to ordinances set by Champaign, Urbana, and the U of I. This article is written by Jana Wiersema, who can be reached by email at jwiersema@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Savoy. Savoy might not have a downtown square yet, or be as close to the heart of campus as Urbana-Champaign, but the village is no stranger to the turquoise VEO bikes that have become a common sight in the Twin Cities. Last summer, we recognized in there was obviously quite a bit of usage of bike sharing in the village of Savoy, and it came to my attention that there was not any sort of regulation associated with that, said village administrator Andy Quarnstrom. That's Quarnstrom. And so I knew that the cities of Champaign and Urbana and the U of I regulated bike sharing, and at that point we recognized we needed to do the same. The village board will discuss a proposed ordinance on the matter during a study session Wednesday. Formal action will not be taken. Quarnstrom said that the village has been in touch with VEO about its plans to introduce bike sharing regulations. They were very supportive, of course, he said, and the ordinance mimics almost exactly what they use and do within, again, in the Twin Cities. Under the proposed ordinance, a bike sharing company would have to secure a license from the village in order for its bikes to be used in Savoy and pay a $600 non-refundable application fee as well as a $1,000 security deposit. Operators may deploy human-powered pedal bicycles or electronic bicycles, village officials wrote. Electronic bicycles must comply with applicable federal and state requirements and be equipped with a front white light and a rear red light. Class 3 electronic bicycles and scooters, whether human-powered or electronic, are not permitted to be deployed as part of a dockless bike share fleet. A licensed company would be able to operate up to 250 bikes during their first year and up to 500 thereafter, Quarnstrom said. When asked if the village has seen any issues so far, Quarnstrom said that there have been the normal types of challenges, such as where bikes are parked and how long they remain there. Putting this ordinance into action will allow us to work with the dockless bike share companies and make sure that they're moving their bikes appropriately and addressing any needs that come up, he said. Under the proposed ordinance, bike share parking would not be allowed on village property unless the village designates the area for this purpose. Parking on private property also would be prohibited without the consent of that property owner or tenant. Participating companies would be required to remove improperly parked bikes within 3 hours of notification during peak periods, which are defined as 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., 7 days a week. Outside of these hours, removal would be required within 12 hours of notification. Additionally, anyone who parks on a sidewalk would need to ensure that 4 feet of clearance is available for pedestrians. We're going to work with operators to find suitable spaces for bike share parking, Quarnstrom said. noting that one challenge is that the village doesn't have a dense urban area like Champaign or Urbana. However, he added that it might be possible to have designated bike share parking at the village half, or the village hall, excuse me, the recreation center, or public parks. And there's one photo that accompanies this article, and it's of a bike near a sign just outside in a residential area. The caption reads, "A motorized VO bike sits at the intersection of Randolph and Maple Streets in Champaign." That photo was taken by Robin Scholz, S-C-H-O-L-Z, of the News Gazette. Next up, another photo. And that photo is of a sticker or sign that says expose, investigate, prosecute. And that photo is provided by Maggie Doherty of Capital News, Illinois. The caption headline reads, "Was anyone in Illinois involved? State lawmakers have proposed creating an independent commission to investigate Illinois-linked crimes connected to international sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein." And that will follow up in just a moment with a Capital News Illinois report on that. But first, Champaign County Court. Champaign man receives 5 years for dealing drugs. Charges dismissed related to his having two guns, lots of ammo. This article is written by Luke Taylor, who can be reached by email at ltaylor@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Urbana. A Champaign man who pleaded guilty to unlawful delivery of a controlled substance was sentenced to 5 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections, despite arguing that he had changed since prior convictions. Michael Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, age 68, had charges of being an armed habitual criminal and felon possession of a firearm dismissed as part of his plea agreement. Assistant State's Attorney Brooke Hinman said that two firearms and 336 rounds of ammunition were found in Terry's possession when police executed a search warrant on him for drugs. She said that this was more than possessing a firearm to protect himself. This is someone who had more or less an arsenal, quote unquote. Hinman emphasized potential harm in the crime of selling illicit drugs, as use of those drugs can lead to anything from overdoses to individuals driving under the influence. She requested the maximum possible sentence, which in this case was 7 years. Terry's defense attorney, Bloomington-based Joseph Moran, M-O-R-A-N, said the potential harm that could indirectly follow from a defendant's actions shouldn't be considered aggravation in sentencing. He pointed out that Terry was cooperative with police and that his most recent previous conviction was back in 2011. Moran spoke to trauma Terry has faced and requested he be placed on probation so that he can be monitored while undergoing treatment. Terry also spoke on his own behalf. He said that he was actually relieved when police arrived because he had just begun relapsing in recent weeks and it was good they stopped him. He told Champaign County Judge Matt Lee, L-E-E, that the drug sales he pleaded guilty to were small sales to people he was using with and that he didn't consider himself a dealer. Terry is a father to two young children who were present in court along with their mother, and he said they deserve to be raised by a responsible parent, and today, that's what I am. I don't have another chance to raise my children, Terry said. This is my last chance. God gave me one more chance. Hinman said that Terry's history included 16 felony convictions, among others, and Lee said that it was one of the longest rap sheets he had ever seen. Even so, Terry emphasized that he had been completely clean since his arrest and that despite not being able to get long-term employment due to his record, he was taking on whatever temporary and short-term work he could in order to support his family. I can't change what I did back in 2011. I can't change what I did back in the 90s. Only thing I can change is today, to do a better job today than I did yesterday, Terry said. In delivering the sentence, Lee said that even if Terry did end up with the entire 7 years, he would still have time to return and be in his children's lives. He also said that with that kind of criminal history, Terry should understand that actions have consequences, and that those included not being able to possess firearms if you have a felony conviction. Lee said that the court's job is to consider the needs of the community, not an individual defendant's life journey. Terry was given credit for 5 days of time previously served. The next headline reads, from top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. The team he was rooting for didn't fare so well against Michigan, but Friday night wasn't a total lost cause for Orange Crush, that's Orange and then Crush, K-R-U-S-H, chair, Keaton Rauman, R-A-U-M-A-N. The Illinois sophomore buried a half-court shot to win a year's worth of pizza, 52 vouchers from Papa John's, celebrating like a team that won on a buzzer beater. Out of my hand, I honestly thought it was short, he said. Once it went in, I knew I just had to make the most of it, so I started running around. Rauman's first half heave was part of an electric night at State Farm Center, at least until the Wolverines pulled away. A standout football and baseball player at Stillman Valley, he played basketball until my sophomore year. Then from that point, I just played pickup pretty much every week, he said. I do have a basketball court in my backyard, so I think practicing those long shots probably helped a bit. Later that night at CAMS, Rauman and his friends visiting from out of town celebrated what he considers a top three highlight of his brief college career. It's only up from here, he said. Hopefully Brad Underwood and the boys can give me a new top three memory after March. And there's a photo of a young man who's wearing a orange basketball jersey that just says orange on the front, probably Crush on the back. And it looks like he's at State Farm Center. It looks like he just got the basket. His arms are raised, kind of in joy. That photo was taken by Robin Scholes of the News Gazette. At NewsGazette.com podcast, Keaton Rauman joined News Gazette Radio to talk Orange Crush on Thursday. Questions, comments, suggestions for Top of the Morning, you can always reach out to Jim Rosso at his email address, which is JROSSOW at NewsGazette.com. Next up, history. Area history. In 1926, H.H. Hesser was held up at gunpoint in his grocery store on South Lincoln Avenue by two extremely nervous young men. After backing Hesser and his clerk into a rear room, the bandits took about $10 from the till before escaping. In 1976, the Urbana City Council defeated proposed rules designed to shorten meetings. The first would have limited each alder person to two turns speaking to each issue. The second would defer issues to the next meeting if they could not be resolved in half an hour of debate. In 2011, police say they are ready to handle unofficial St. Patrick's Day celebrations on the University of Illinois campus, as it appears thousands of students are once again ready to participate in the infamous event. This is 2011. Unofficial St. Pat's traditions are simple enough. Students spend the day in green, in bars, and intoxicated, many waking up at dawn to tap the keg for early apartment parties that could last through the day. In international history, today's highlight, on March 3, 1991, motorist Rodney King was severely beaten by Los Angeles police officers after a high-speed chase in a scene captured on amateur video that sparked public outrage. The subsequent acquittal of four officers of felony assault and other charges in April 1992 triggered days of rioting and dozens of deaths in Los Angeles. Also on this date, in 1845, Florida became a U.S. state, and in 1849, Congress established the U.S. Department of the Interior. The next headline reads, it's actually a look at our weather forecast for the next few days. Let's look at it. Today, the high will be 47 degrees, almost 100% chance of rain showers, east winds around 5 miles per hour. Wednesday, more rain. The high will be 57, the low is 40, showers early, then 80% likely with the chance of afternoon thunderstorms, Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday, more rain. The high will be 64, the low is 50. Showers 80% likely, mainly in the morning. And Friday and Saturday, more rain. But Friday, the high will be 74 degrees. The low will be 48, mostly cloudy. Showers at 70% likely, mainly in the morning. And Saturday, the high will be 67, the low is 58. Cloudy, showers again, 70% chance of showers, likely, mainly in the morning. So in the 40s now, going to get warmer by the end of the week, on and off rain for the next few days. The next headline reads, U.S. District Court, judge again blocks DHS policy on lawmaker visits to detention centers. This article is written by Chris Johnson for CQ Roll Call TNS, based out of Washington. A federal judge, actually, you know what? I'm not going to read this one. I'm sorry about that. This was a federal, national story that's kind of in the typical or normal Illinois headlines. So let me see here. Let me find another story for us that's more focused on Illinois and the state. Let's go to this Capital News Illinois article. State-led Epstein probe proposed. Goal to investigate any Illinois-based crimes involving sex trafficker allies. This article is written by Maggie Doherty and is provided to us or written for CapitalNewsIllinois.com. And you can reach Capital News at news@CapitalNewsIllinois.com. That's their email address. That's capital, C-A-P-I-T-O-L. This article is based out of Chicago. Illinois lawmakers are calling for an independent commission to investigate Illinois-linked crimes connected to international sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. Democratic lawmakers Monday joined advocates for women and survivors of sexual abuse to introduce House Bill 5723, called the Illinois Epstein Files Investigation Act. The bill, if passed, would create a commission to investigate Illinois-based crimes connected to Epstein's network. It would focus primarily on the stories of victims in Illinois and crimes that may have occurred in Illinois. Survivors connected to Jeffrey Epstein's trafficking network have been telling us the same thing, that the abuse didn't happen in a vacuum, said bill sponsor, Representative Abdel Nasser Rashid, a Democrat from Bridgeview. There were systems behind it. There was power behind it. And in too many cases, there were institutions that looked the other way, institutions that were supposed to protect these young girls but didn't. The measure has a long way to go to become law. Rashid was listed as the bill's lone sponsor as of Monday afternoon, the day it was filed, though he was accompanied by two other supportive Democrat legislators. The 10-member commission would be appointed by the governor and approved by the state senate. At least three of those members must be from a different party than the governor. Members of the commission would be unpaid, but could submit for reimbursement of expenses should the General Assembly decide to provide funding. While Rashid, said he would welcome bipartisan support, the board's makeup and the governor's power over it may make Republican votes difficult to find. Bill advocates say the commission is needed to fill a gap left at the federal level as the U.S. Department of Justice faces criticism for withholding records from the Epstein files, particularly pertaining to President Donald Trump, despite a law that Trump signed mandating their release. Trump has mentioned more than 38,000 times in the documents that have been released so far. It's absolutely stomach-churning and awful to see what these survivors have been through. And to let the wheels of justice fall off at the federal level is an abomination, said Representative Ann Stava, a Democrat from Naperville. It's often said the wheel of justice turns slowly. In this case, we need to speed that up. Tony McCombie, the Republican minority leader in the state house, called Epstein's crimes horrific, but added creating a commission here may generate headlines, but it does not deliver justice to victims. But let's also be honest, Illinois legislators cannot subpoena federal investigators, prosecute international trafficking rings, or conduct a parallel federal criminal investigation from Springfield, said McCombie, who represents the 89th District in northwestern Illinois. Real teeth. The bill would give the commission investigatory authority to request records from state and local agencies, issue subpoenas for documents and testimony, and provide confidentiality protections to victims and other whistleblowers. Victims would not be compelled to testify against their wishes, according to Rashid. Like the Illinois Accountability Commission, the IAC, which is investigating potential abuses by federal immigration agents operating in Illinois, the Epstein Commission would hold public meetings and issue public reports, redacted as needed for privacy. It would be required to submit an initial report within its first year of operation and another before it ceases operations after 5 years. Any investigative files open at the time the commission closed its doors would be transferred to the Attorney General's office. This commission will have real teeth, subpoena power, the ability to refer criminal evidence to the Attorney General, and the independence to follow the facts wherever they lead, said Senator Graciela Guzman, Democrat, Chicago. The bill also strengthens the Attorney General's hand by allowing a statewide grand jury when local prosecutors can't or won't act. The bill would allow the Attorney General to call a statewide grand jury to investigate and prosecute crimes related to Epstein, including sexual exploitation of children, child pornography, human trafficking, money laundering, racketeering, and perjury. It would not replace prosecutors, Rashid said, but give the state the tools it needs to fully investigate where Illinois law was broken. Illinois impact. The governor's cousin, Thomas Pritzker, recently resigned from his role as the executive chairman of Hyatt Hotels after his association with Epstein and accomplice Ghislaine Maxwell came into clearer view through emails released in the Epstein files tranche. When asked about his cousin's connections to Epstein in a recent interview, the governor said that anyone who has done something wrong should be held accountable. I'm not close to my cousin, but I can tell you that it's very important that people be held to pay the price for whatever it is they may have done, Pritzker said. If the bill becomes law, Illinois lawmakers would join New Mexico in creating state-level bodies to investigate Epstein's criminal sex trafficking network. Epstein's Zorro Ranch in New Mexico has faced scrutiny as a hub of his sex trafficking crimes. New Mexico lawmakers passed the bill unanimously in February. Supporters of the Illinois bill said they hoped other states would join the fight in lieu of accountability at the national level. For years, the country has been told to wait for Washington, wait for the next document drop, wait for the next excuse, wait until survivors or wait while survivors carry the weight, Jane Ruby, president of the League of Women Voters of Chicago, told reporters. And there's one photograph that accompanies this article. It's taken by Maggie Doherty for Capital News Illinois. It's of two people in what looks to be like a courtroom, the American flag and the Illinois flag behind them. It's a man and a woman, and they're both holding signs. One, the man is holding a sign that says expose, investigate, prosecute. And then the other one, I can't quite see it, but it says stop protecting, and then it's in red. So I'm not sure what that is. Reps Abdel Nasser Rashid and Ann Stava hold signs promoting the Illinois Epstein Files Investigation Act at a Monday news conference in downtown Chicago. The next headline reads, also from Capital News Illinois, Road Fund will help fund transit, especially in Chicago region. This article is based out of Springfield and is written by Jacques Abou-Rizk, Amy L. Wong, and Medill, Illinois News Bureau. And you can reach Capital News at news@capitalnewsillinois.com. In Dallas City, a small town in western Illinois along the Mississippi River, Mayor Kevin Six, S-I-X, says residents have grown frustrated, wondering whether the state will ever finish paving Illinois Highway 96. They just paved 6 miles between our town and the next, but we've been waiting 4 or 5 years for more of it to be repaved, Six said. They're just dragging their feet. The Illinois Department of Transportation included $7 million for 6 miles of resurfacing and culvert work on Illinois 96 in its October multi-year plan. The years of the project are listed for 2027 to 2031. Six said his frustrations only intensified following the veto session of the General Assembly last fall and passage of a transit bill that diverted funds traditionally used for road construction throughout the state and put them toward public transportation, mostly in the Chicago area. Downstate officials have aired frustration in the aftermath of the transit overhaul, though the Illinois Department of Transportation maintains that its multi-year plan unveiled prior to the new law's passage will not be reduced or altered because of it. Senate Bill 2111, which passed in the final hours of the last day of the session, included $1.5 billion in transit funding. That includes redirecting a projected $860 million in sales tax revenue charged on motor fuels from the Illinois Road Fund to public transportation operations. The bill, which will take effect in June, distributes 85% of the diverted funds to Chicago area transit and 15% to downstate transit agencies. The Road Fund is a primary statewide account used to pay for or finance road projects through the Illinois Department of Transportation. Many road projects are paid for with construction bonds, and the state's motor fuel tax increases with inflation each year to raise revenue to pay for them. The Road Fund is fed into by the state's motor fuel tax, which is separate from the sales tax charged on motor fuel taxes. Before 2019's Rebuild Illinois Capital Infrastructure Plan, the sales tax on motor fuel was going to the state's main general revenue fund rather than to the road fund. Rebuild, which was the first comprehensive multi-year capital plan since 2009, created an incremental shift of that money to the road fund, which the new law will alter. Governor J.B. Pritzker received bipartisan support for the plan in large part because it shifted the sales tax money on motor fuel purchases to the road fund. The new law will also allow another estimated $200 million from interest growing in the state's road fund to be allocated for mass transit. That money will patch public transportation budget holes in the northern part of the state caused in large part by pandemic-era federal aid running dry. Pritzker signed SB, State Bill 2111, on December 16th. The plan does not include any statewide tax increases, but raises a sales tax in the Chicago area. And as a quick note, most of the stories that I've read to you contain original reporting by News Gazette staff. If you are not a subscriber, please consider becoming one because local journalism is only possible with your support. A subscription to the News Gazette plays a vital role in making this reporting possible. Thank you for your support and helping us continue to connect our community. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. It's always a pleasure to read with you. I'll return shortly to read part two of the News Gazette, so please stay with me. Thanks for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.